Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. And, you know, as you know, I'm always scouring the world for the best guests and to make sure that I take care of you guys the best. And, you know, I went out into the science field here. I found a guy that I've met that has a degree in biology and genetics from Duke. Well, he's a Dukie, so he's a Blue Devil. So I don't know. Depending on where you are in the country, you may love him, you may hate him. But Matt Demeter is now in Demeter Research, but he is a scientist. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Thanks for having me, Todd. Appreciate it.
So, Matt, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you make the transition from a scientist and working in the lab and, you know, cooking up those concoctions into becoming a technical analyst?
Well, the transition happened in around 2000. I was just dumb luck. I was actually skiing at the time with a girlfriend, and it was actually March 2000, and I'd been dumping all my money into biotech stocks for about 2 years, and they had gone about fivefold the return, just like everybody else. And it was literally, say, March 13th or 14th. I was sitting in an internet cafe because I wouldn't ski. All I wanted to do was look at the stock market, because every day we were up 5% in the NASDAQ, and it was just insane. So I had to decide, you know, do I sell out or what do I do? This is kind of crazy. And I wasn't, we weren't having any fun. So what I did is I just bought puts on everything I owned, like 6 month puts. And then we were able to, you know, enjoy ourselves and ski. When the NASDAQ crashed, I realized, you know, I didn't realize anything. I was just like everybody else. I was stunned. But it ended up, I kept most of my gains. So later on, when it came time to decide whether I was going to get my PhD and go back to school for 6 years, or if I wanted to do something else, I thought, you know, gee, if I could do that on purpose, that would be great. So I took a few years off and started getting deeper into fundamentals. And then I didn't really start on technicals until about 2007, 2008. But since then, I've become more and more focused on technicals because I really believe that at first I thought it was voodoo, technicals, that there really wasn't a lot of anything there. But the deeper I got into it, the more I realized this is non-random. The things that we're seeing, the support and resistance lines we're seeing, the all the various methods have their own positive points. They all have sort of their failings as well. That's where I started. And I started working through what's wrong with certain systems.
That's pretty cool. I mean, you know, again, I look at it, you know, I've been originally I was not a technical analysis. Originally I was a floor trader trading paper flow, and you didn't have time to be a technical analysis. It was just strictly, you know, making markets and facilitating trading. But as I got more into the technical analysis and the funny you mentioned the NASDAQ or the biotechs, but in 2001 in March, right when you bought your puts, I was playing golf with my trading partner, and we had a guy that was trading in the NASDAQ pit back in those days. And we said, Johnny, whatever you do, we're big short. Do not touch anything. We don't care. We are willing to take whatever pain from this level that will happen, and we're willing to be short and live through it. So, of course, the next day, the NASDAQ came down a little bit, and he took out like $25,000 or $50,000, and he called up and said, well, look, I did great. We said, you're an idiot. We told you not to do anything. We don't want to cover here. We know that the market is going to make a much deeper run to the downside based on the technical analysis that we do. And I think that the interesting thing is that technical analysis is in my opinion, is the most important tool that anybody can learn, and it kind of relates to what your education, which is science, and looking for fact and establishing patterns and things like that. Is that not correct?
That's absolutely accurate. You're just looking for a pattern to see if something's non-random or not. Yeah.
So when you look for non-random, when you look at a market, okay, what are you specifically looking for?
Well, my methods are based off of support and resistance lines primarily. I look at moving averages and a lot of other things too, but mostly support and resistance lines, but I'm not doing horizontal lines. Most patterns I look at are always, not always, but about 80% of the time we're talking about upsloping or downsloping lines. And many of these lines haven't, they're projection lines, so they've never been hit before, or at least they haven't been hit and caused a reaction. So, it's easy to determine where a support or resistance line is after it's already been hit multiple times. But once it's been hit multiple times, it's losing some of its power already. So what I'm trying to do is figure out, let's just say you have a market that's plunging, where is the line that it's going to hit and then reverse off of for the first time? So that way you can hit an exact low or hit an exact high. Okay. And the way I project is basically, it's based, I'm not going to get into a ton of detail because it could go on for a while, but I'm basically looking for symmetry from previous highs and lows.
So you use some type of, I'm assuming you're using some type of mathematical formula with the view of the chart and trying to establish where these things may run or may not run to?
Yeah, that's essentially right.
Okay. Because, you know, there are systems out there, and of course, one of my very good friends who's, you know, in his mid-60s still does all that work by hand. He sits there with a T-square and a compass and, you know, does the projections, and he's very, very good. And, of course, I know you're very, very good as well. And you are certainly a technicals first. And if I said to you that you can look for opportunities based on fundamentals, but you should never trade them unless the technicals bear out, what do you say?
I totally agree. It's kind of funny when with fundamentals, it will always play out, you know, in your direction if it's truly, you know, a bargain. Like if you find a stock that's well below book and it's not going to go out of business and so forth, you're going to win. But does that mean it's at its absolute low? No. Or and vice versa. You know, when you get to highs, you know, highs are manic highs and lows are, you know, total depression. I don't see, it's all psychology. I don't see fundamentals anymore as sort of the standard to go by. So technicals for me I won't buy something that has no good fundamental case. It has to have a great fundamental case. But where I would enter into that trade is all based on technicals, because, you know, these things can get way oversold based on psychology, or way overbought based on psychology. So you
will not trade a product that doesn't, so you won't trade just a trade. You have to have a good fundamental story behind it, and then you'll use the technicals to trade. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, if it's something that I want to hold for the long term, in some cases, I don't even know what the fundamental backdrop is. For example, Brazil's been falling for a long time, and I really don't know, you know, the political picture in Brazil. I know it's not great. I have some idea of what's going on there, but Brazil's, you know, we bought Brazil very close to the low. This recent low, it's now up just under, I think, 25%. Yeah, I don't really know the fundamentals there. I do know I can look at the PE that got down to about, you know, 10 or so. That seems relatively cheap. As far as fundamentals, usually I want to have some idea of, if I'm going to buy this, I'm going to hold it for the long term. Hopefully there's a good fundamental story. That's usually the case with individual stocks. You really want to know those sorts of things. But when it's broad stock markets and the macro markets that I follow, whether it be, you know, the metals, agriculture, stock indices, those are so, you know, sort of broad. These things will always have some kind of value.
Right. All right. We're going to stop by here for a break, Matt. This is Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. We now have a mad scientist as part of the Bubba staff, so we're going to come back and talk to Matt some more after the break. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break. Give it to me easy. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I'm with a new member of the Bubba crew, I hope. Our mad scientist, we're going to call him, from Duke University, Matt Demeter from Demeter Research. That's D-E-M-E-T-E-R, research.com. So, Matt, you know, before we get into actually some of the things you do, I guess you got into the investing world in about 04, managing money or doing something like that?
Yeah, when I decided that I didn't go the traditional route where I went to, you know, an investment bank or something like that. I just learned the stuff myself, and then you know, my parents needed somebody to manage their money and a few, you know, family friends, and so you know, I did it for them, and that turned out, you know, fairly well. So then I just you know, kept going with it.
Okay, and then you brought up Demeter Research yourself, and you're now.
Right.
How does that work? And are do you have clients? Do you actually, or do you have subscribers? What is the process? And if I wanted to get involved with Demeter Research, who's the ideal person there? And what are you looking for? And what should they expect to get?
Great. Yeah, with the website, I follow 30 different markets, currencies, commodities, stock indices, and bonds. And I essentially just chart all these different markets. I find where the major highs and major lows should be within more than half the time, within 0.5%, and almost 90% of the time within 1%. So what a subscriber should expect, there's two subscription levels. If they have a regular subscription, then as we are buying, you know, say silver or gold or something like that, we'll say so right on the site. We'll say on our blog, and we'll have a real-time portfolio that will reflect that purchase.
Okay.
Then we also have a chart subscription where if you actually want to see the charts ahead of time, like you want to see where the, you know, the lows, the targets are, where the lines are, then we share that as well. That way, if you want to plan ahead and have an option strategy and that sort of thing, it's useful.
Do you like to use a lot of options? Are you an options guy?
I do, only when your options is a lot of timing as well. So you have to have hit, for me, I have to have hit a major turning point before I'll do options. We had a very good call on yen, where, you know, everybody's expecting the yen to continue to weaken. I actually think it's going to strengthen, and I think we've maxed out on the weakness. So speaking of it the other way, dollar yen has, in my opinion, peaked. So we got to 120, we shorted at 125, 126 area, and that, you know, that was the high. It's since pulled back. Right now we're at about 120. I did put on a yen call, which is underwater because it was out of the money, and we just haven't fallen far enough yet for it. You know, and time is an issue.
You haven't been a regular listener to the Bubba Show, because the Bubba Show would have told you that you don't buy out of the money, you buy them at the money, so you have the best the best possible outcome is always at the money. But so now, do you find from your work that certain things follow technicals even better? I mean, everything is technically traded, in my opinion. But some products actually follow even closer technically. And I'll use one example, is the grain markets are typically very technically traded. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I agree. I think most of the commodity markets are heavily technical. I think gold and silver are good examples of where some of the commercial players out there are watching, you know, the moving averages very closely. And they, for example, will not, silver just popped up to its 200-day moving average, which happens to be where I had a resistance line. And I have a pretty good feeling there. The commercials are not going to let silver get through its 200-day moving average up at 16. They're going to they're going to slam it down every chance they get. But gold isn't quite up there yet. It may get there. But yeah, I agree. I think technicals are the way to trade the commodities.
Now, are you on your stuff when you're making projections? Are they based on what time frames are you looking at when you're doing your work? Is it on day charts? Is it minute charts? Is it monthly charts? What kind of stuff are you using to base your decisions on?
Well, because I'm following so many markets, I'm just focused on the long term. My patterns work in any time frame, but most of my charts are going to be daily, weekly, monthly. You can get down to any amount of time. It can be 1 minute, but then you're really talking about the minute ups and downs. So we do short-term trading on the site, but primarily just S&P, because that's really all I have time to do short-term work on, and S&Ps tend to be fairly popular. So
yeah, well, the mini ES, and of course, here on the Bubba Show all the time, we talk about universal price, because we say that all charts are the same. It doesn't matter. The only thing that changes is the time frame. But if I give you any chart and take off the time and price axis, and you could not tell me what time frame you were watching, which would be correct. Do you agree with that?
Maybe I'm not understanding. Can you phrase that again?
In other words, I believe that all charts are exactly the same. If I take away the price and time axis, AXIS, and show you a chart, you could not tell me what time frame that chart is without price and time on it.
Right. No, I agree with that.
Okay, and that's what we believe in here at the Bubba Show, is that it doesn't matter. I mean, we trade... sometimes I trade 5 minute charts, sometimes I trade one, sometimes I'm trading monthlies. It doesn't matter, because the only difference is that the patterns take so much longer to develop if you're trading a longer term frame. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. So I think we've got some really interesting, we have a really interesting environment right now. We're starting to get some volatility, which I think is kind of fun. It's more interesting than it was over the summer. I don't think it's fully played out yet. I think we're going to get one, as far as the S&P goes, I think we're going to make one more dive lower, and then we're going to have a big Q4 rally.
Well, so you think you're looking for a potential big Q4 rally?
Yeah. It's interesting. We've when I read a lot of other work, there's comparisons from this fall in the S&P to 2011. And it's interesting to me because this is actually the second leg down from the 2011 drop. So the way, when I talk about symmetry, the way it works for me is if you just imagine a drop, a fairly straight drop, and then an area of chop. And then what you should get at right after that is an equally large drop. So it should be drop, chop, and then equal size drop. And that would complete a pattern. What we've done is we didn't get that second leg down that we should have gotten in 2011. So left a support line, a target support line that wanted to be hit that never got hit, well below, but it was an ascending one. So after 4 years, that second leg's finally happened, and we've gotten to in most of the indices, we've gotten to that target line. Not all, so I do think we're going to head back down and make either. In some indices, we'll make slightly lower lows, and in others, they'll either double bottom or they'll make slightly higher lows.
Really? Okay. So you're thinking, you're looking for the you're looking for Santa Claus to show up again, as he almost does every year. But even in 08, he showed up, but he showed up from a much lower level. So as we get ready to go to break here, I want you to give me your best guess, and we don't hold you to this, but I'm just curious as to where you would think that, when you say a big rally, where the S&P will close at the end of this year. But we'll get that answer when we come back to the break. I'm with Matt Demeter from Demeter Research. He is our going to be hopefully a new regular here talking technicals, because that is what the Bubba Show is all about, and that's what we talk about on a regular basis. And we're going to dig into a little options with Matt as well, because we'll give him a little options education to make his stuff good. But we are with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We are going to step out here for a break. But before we get to the break, make sure you write down thebubbashow.org and check it out, because you will see things written there that are 6 months ahead of the street. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break with more from Matt Demeter.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with the mad scientist Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, D-E-M-E-T-R, research.com. Make sure you check him out. He's got some great stuff to say, and we're glad that he's going to be a part of the new Bubba Show rotation, because we can always use good technical analysis, because as everybody knows, we never buy on fundamentals. We could care less. We need something technically to give us a reason to get in the market, and that's what we use. All right, Matt, so I'm putting you under the gun right here, baby. We got you're calling for a rally. I think we're going to have a sell-off, but that's the beauty of technical analysis. Where is your target coming to the year? And let's talk about the main ones. Let's first, we'll talk about the S&P. We're right now, you know, just back at that 2000 level again. Where do we close the year?
Well, as I said, I think we have one more sell-off before its pattern is complete, and then I think we're going to get that rally. I think the sell-off should get us down to about 18. It's a rising line. As of today, it's at 1830-ish. And I think, you know, by the time we get there, it might be, you know, 1835, 1840. Then after that, so that's near term. So that's probably over the next, you know, 2-3 weeks. Then I think we rally up well beyond the highs that we've already put in place. I'm guessing about 20%. Actually, I know where it would be once we bottom, but it's going to be about 20% higher.
Really? So you're looking for a back off to the lows of, let's say 1835. Doesn't matter. I mean, it's close enough. And then you're going to look for a 20% rally of that, which would put us back about 2200?
20% above the highs. So say 2400, 2300.
And you're expecting that all in the fourth quarter before the year's over?
It may not happen all in the fourth quarter. So at the end of the year, you know, we probably will have, I think it would be a very steep run higher.
Okay.
But we'll still have a little bit left. I think it will continue throughout January. But, you know, we'll have to see how it plays out, because if my target still isn't hit, you know, by the end of the year, by mid-January, then we may have to say, in terms of time, we still have a bit longer to go.
Okay, no problem. Again, look, we don't have a, you're not in the electric chair. We're not going to push a button if you're wrong. I'm just, I mean, I believe that, before we make new highs, we're going to hit 1586 in the S&P. So, and there you have that story. But so now, in the next major industry, let's talk about maybe the NASDAQ. Do you chart the NASDAQ?
I do. Just to let you know, if we do, I would switch very quickly if we break, you know, my target low around 1835. If we break 1800 flat, then there's a problem. Then we're going to keep going. But I have a contingency plan. If the line breaks, then we go back to shorting again.
No, I understand. Look, I'm very honest with everybody about what we do. And, you know, we're not 100%. Nobody's 100%. And anybody who says they're 100% is a liar. But, and you can be forced. Now, this is a great question. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
When you look at a chart, okay, and you've got your target, and you're saying, okay, 18, let's just say use 1835. When you now 1825 and 1835 are really the same number. I mean, it's only 10 points lower in the S&P, which is still close enough and considered within range of that bottom. So what is your determining point when you have violated that double bottom or that support or that leg down? At what point do you have a percentage number, or do you have a chart point that says, okay, this is no longer valid, it's not going to be a double bottom, this looks like it's going to break down or break up, either way, whichever. But right now we're talking about the downside. So from 1835, is 1800 the key spot? If it hits 1835 and you get long and you buy and it goes to 1800, you're still not worried until it breaks 1800? Is it about 2% that you give it as a leeway play?
Well, 1800 would just be so clear that we broke. There's a line that, you know, it's fairly distinct. And if we hit it, I mean, if we hit it, we should bounce right off of it very, very cleanly. If we break it, you know, it would be prior to 1800 that I said it's broken. We're going to keep falling. I can narrow it down to a very small range. But 1800 would just be absolutely clear.
Okay. No, again, it's just we talk about, one of the biggest things I talk about is you have to learn to trade with a butcher knife, not a scalpel, because if you're trying to pick it, you know, if you say 1835, you know, and it goes to 1836, well, that's pretty close. You might look at it there if it starts to turn, because we use, when we're trading and when we're teaching, we use what we call a double time frame. We'll use the long-term frame to try to pick the trend, but we'll use the short-term to enter. So if I get to 1835 and I'm looking to buy, I will not buy until my either independent, this is all individual preference, but until my 1, 5, 10, 15, 20 minute chart turn to show me, because as we know, the longer term trend has to start with the shorter term trend turning in that direction, right? Because the shorter term trend has to tick up first. So that's what we would use here to get involved, is to look at the shorter term against that mass support that you're looking for. So you know, we don't like using a scalpel because it's too hard to be that exact about the market. Do you agree?
I agree 100%, and I think that's a good point. When we're up here, you know, around 2000, and we're projecting down, you know, nearly, you know, 200 points, what I do is, once we, you know, my methods work in all time frames as well, and it's very useful. But once you get to that, you know, that big, the big long-term line, you can use, like you were saying, you can use the 1, 5, 10 minute charts, and you can get these smaller patterns within them. And when those bottom, then you know this is my entry point. If those then break and you're right near the long-term line, then you know there's a problem. So then you know you know it's not going to hold. You are going to continue to sell off. So that I do the exact same thing. You want to fine tune it as you get really close to the big lines.
All right. So now we looked at the S&P. You're going to tell us about the NASDAQ. What's your figure for the NASDAQ here?
Let me see. I'm pulling up that chart now. I don't memorize most of these, but I think.
No problem. We can wait till you get to it. So okay. when you're doing your work, is your work, have you written computer algorithms to help this, or do you do this work by hand?
By hand.
Wow, you're an old timer. I mean, that's good. I like that. I actually, you know, one of the funny things is I believe that for the average investor, it's better to do it by hand, because it kind of fine tunes your mind and it gives you a better view versus just depending on a computer to make the decision for you. Because I think that you have to be able to look at something, and if you realize it and you recognize it, I think it gives the trader a better feel. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, sort of hands-on, and algorithms are, don't give you the same sense.
Yeah, so. I agree with that.
So as far as the NASDAQ goes, I'm thinking this is one where we're probably not going to make a lower low. Probably going to make a higher low.
Okay.
But I don't have the exact figure as we're speaking. So
that's fine. Again, we'll get it next time you come on. It's is there any other major market? So we know that the S&P, you have a call there. You have a call in the yen. Or the dollar yen specifically, right? It's the dollar yen specifically. Is there any other major product that you have your eyes on that you're looking for some movement out of?
Well, if you want to talk about indices, then Nikkei is pretty interesting. Nikkei is going to have, based upon where it stopped so far for the past few days, that's the right place for us to fall down to around 15,250-ish. So basically 3,000 points lower than Nikkei. So that would be about 16% versus what we're looking for in the S&P would be more along the lines of, what, 5, 6%? Is it 200 points? Yeah, no, more like 10%. But that seems about right. Nikkei is going to overreact more than in terms of percent than the S&P.
Now, we're getting close to another break, but I want to give you another question to think about. I know you're a technical guy, and I know that you're not emotional, except when you were skiing back when you were with your girlfriend. But you might have been emotional for other reasons there, though. But anyways, when you look at the overall markets here, and you're thinking about, you know, how to enter and how to exit, and what you're going to do, do you ever take into consideration things like the Federal Reserve, what they're doing, earnings? Do any of those things actually mean anything when you're doing your work, or is your work purely 100% no involvement? You can turn off the news and just do use the technical analysis. And that is my question for you. So when we come back, we're going to get those answers from Matt. But we are hanging with Matt, and that's Detmer Research, who, again, he was, believe it or not, a scientist. Well, he still is. I guess once you're always a scientist. But I think a lot of his personality grinds right into technical analysis, because I think it's very important for you to understand. And when we come back, Matt's also going to tell you how you can get involved and use his product for yourself and what he does. But this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And we also want to remind you that we have just finished our first couple of groups of hedging classes, and they are meeting with rave success, and we're just getting huge testimonials and recommendations about what we've done and taught people how to understand the trading of their portfolios. Because again, we don't want anybody to have to suffer when the market does go back to 1830, and maybe it'll bounce, maybe it won't, but we want to make sure that you, the individual investor, have protected your portfolio, because I don't want to see anybody go through the major crashes again. And all you have to do is email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org, and I'll give you what the classes are about. We have two options that you can get involved with, but all I have to do is email me and I'll give you a call. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. We're with Matt Detmer from Detmer Research, and we will be stepping out here for a break. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my man Matt Detmer. I'm sorry I said it wrong all day, Detmer. And we're back, and it's Detmer Research, and we also like to call him, we're calling him the mad scientist. He may not like it, but that tough crap. That's the way life goes. But anyways, so we've got Matt, and Matt, when we went to break, we said, hey, does any of the other outside noise ever affect your technical decision making? And your answer is
no, not really. For example, we were looking at GDX, gold miners ETF, and gold itself prior to the Fed, this latest time in September here. Was that September 17th, I think?
Yep.
Anyway, we hit major target lows on September 11th, actually, this year. And that was just a week, you know, a week before the Fed. So my assumption was that they were not going to raise, but it's kind of pointless too, because it's hard to know if, you know, if these expectations have already been built into the market. So you don't know how, just because the Fed raises or doesn't raise, you don't necessarily know what the reaction is going to be.
Well, so, I knew what the reaction was going to be. I said, look, I'm on the bandwagon. They're never raising rates in a long time. In fact, there's a better chance we go negative than they raise. How's that?
I totally agree. I mean, if you think about the cost of our debt, at some, you know, if we went back to what the rates we had back in 2000,
yeah,
then we'd be spending half our tax revenue on interest alone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's totally unsustainable. And yeah, I can't see rates being voluntarily lifted. Although I think they're going to go up, I don't think it's going to be.
Well, they should go up, and if our idiot Fed would wake up and realize that this is a business, not a toy that they can read out of a book, they'd figure it out. But I don't want to get into the Fed with you right now. I want to know from you. Okay, so we know none of that matters. Now, what I'm going to say, and I want to get your opinion. I say that the market knows more and free trade knows more, and when they're actually going to really increase rates, we will see that. That'll show up in one of the charts somewhere, just like news always shows up in the footprint or the chart or the technical basis before it ever hits the tape. What do you say?
I couldn't agree more. I talked about the yen call, and we thought dollar yen was topping out. There was no, you know, you would think, you know, a government that's, you know, intent upon destroying its currency, well, that's the one thing they're good at. They can accomplish that. So you'd say, well, what's the fundamental case for yen strengthening? There is none. But the chart said, hey, you know, at 125-ish, you know, the dollar yen is done rising. It's gonna start falling. And we made that call on June 2nd. Had no idea that on June 5th, Kuroda was going to come out and say, yeah, we think that the yen has weakened enough. And then, you know, that's when the reversal came. So the chart somehow knew what, you know, the fundamentals were going to be, what the, you know, the politics was going to be ahead of time.
And that makes sense, because they always know. So
they always know.
They always know. That's the point. This is the point I try to drive home on a regular basis. You can, in fact, I made a challenge. I do a call every Monday night, a subscription-based webinar, and I made everybody a challenge last week. I said, look, I'm going to challenge you, except when I'm on air, because you got to watch me, because you know when I tell you something, that's what I'm doing. I'm reading it from the chart, right? But other than that, you have to turn the TV off, you have to turn off all the news, and just purely look at a chart and see if you can find the footprint and recognize the footprint. So, you know, that's what you do. Matt, if I want to get signed up for Detmer Research, and I want to get your information, how do I go about doing that?
Well, you just go to DemeterResearch.com, and you can take a look at some previous calls that we've made. You can look, you know, go through the, you know, kind of our method kind of stuff. And if you subscribe, you can do a 15-day free trial, so you can check it out without any risk. If you cancel before 15 days, you don't pay anything. We created a coupon code for your listeners. So if you type in Bubba when you sign up, you also get a 10% off the subscription cost.
That's good. So you guys listen. Now I'm telling you straight up. Okay, his work is good, and it's a tool that you can look at. So if you want to check it out, I encourage you to go check it out. Again, straight up guy, he's going to be on. And if you want to yell at him, I'll always field questions. And anybody who has any technical questions, all you have to do is email me to bubba@thebubbashow.org. And the next time we have Matt on, we're going to ask your questions, because we believe in audience participation as well. And we want to make sure that you understand it, because Matt, myself, the Badger, the guys who really understand the market, and gals that really understand the market, realize that markets always trade off a technical basis, and fundamentals are fine, except I love the example of Apple when it was 700. It had record earnings, everything was great, and of course it got cut in half by half because it could no longer hold the technical range it was trading. But so Matt, what is your recommendation to the average trader? Number one, how they should be gearing and watching markets, and what type of technical things they should be looking for, and then what would be your same recommendation for an investor who is not as short term?
So for trader, I mean, either way, you have to, you know, we keep going but saying technicals, but I, you know, you have to do it. If you want to be self-directed as an investor, you have to look at technicals. As far as traders, you kind of have to, I mean, assuming you already start off with that mentality of you have to do what's painful, then, you know, do the thing that seems like the worst idea at the time, but you also, you have to have that sort of personality. You need some sort of objective way as well to get into your position. And if it goes against you, you have to know where to stop. And where technicals come into play is, you know, you have to, whenever I get long or short, it's always off of a line. So if I get long, it has to be off of a support line. And most of the time I want to be off of an ascending support line. So in other words, we've hit the line, I just got long, the line is moving up. If we cross that line to the downside, then we're out, we'll stop out. As long as it's rising, then there's no way, unless we get stopped out immediately, as long as we're in the trade for over a couple of days, we'll make a profit even if we're stopped out. So I think you have to have sort of your, whatever discipline you use, that's what I use.
It's hard to say the exact number, but so you're going to get out once that ascending trend line, and if you're buying, or descending trend line if you're selling, gets violated, you're going to get out right there, or do you put a number once it gets there? Because again, you know, we do have false breakouts both up and down, or you just take it once it violates, you're out.
If it gets violated, I'm out.
Okay.
And I'll just reassess, because usually what happens is when it gets violated, it means it's going to go, there's, you know, in any given, you know, if you're just talking about getting long, let's say, then I'll project, you know, three or four lines, and then I have other methods to say which line I think is the line, which line is the line that we'll finally bottom on. If we violate that line, it means that we're going to fall to the next one. And usually that's quite a bit further. So I'll just say, okay, we'll just get long at that next one. And that's how I'll do it. But I won't tolerate the line being breached really at all.
That's good. Look, again, there's all kinds of methods. And that's why the option strategies that we use, we don't use stops, because we use positions that are all synthetic. That put us in, like I could be long the S&P and have a max risk of a couple of points no matter what happens. So I don't have to use a stop, because I can create a synthetic and not have to worry about the problem of if it's violated, I'm going to lose money, but I'm going to lose money either way. But I'm always in the trade, and I can stay in the trade until it expires, because I don't have to worry about a free fall. So anyways, Matt, pronounce your name one more time for everybody, because I don't want to.
It's Demeter.
Demeter. I keep saying it wrong. I'm a schmuck. I'm sorry. But this is the Bubba Show. We have had our new regular. I hope he comes back regular. Will you come back and see us again?
I'd love to, yeah.
Okay, because we're gonna start to get more into this, and I think it's important for everybody to understand what we've been preaching forever, because you'll see that this is the way to go. But Matt Demeter from Demeter Research, it's a pleasure to have you on. We don't mind that we call you the Mad Scientist, do you?
Not at all. I'll take it as a compliment.
This is the Mad Scientist, and this has been the Bubba Show. Thank you, everybody, for being here so much. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you later, everybody. Thank you so much.
Your everlasting summer, you can see it fading fast.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.